Well, before we jump into some of what was said at the Biden-Kasich event, I wanted to ask you what you felt about having these two figures, a former Democratic vice president and a sitting Republican governor who just ran for president, on one stage talking politics in a civil, thoughtful tone.
Yeah, there's a wonderful, this is the seventh year of this wonderful program at the University of Delaware that is sponsored by the Center for Political Communication, and it's a national agenda series. And this year, the director, Professor Lindsay Hoffman and Nancy Karabjanian decided that, you know what, the campus is really struggling with some of these divides that the students are experiencing. Political divides, there's such partisan vitriol, there's a sense of these sort of identity politics and tribalism. And so they decided to take this head on and create this forum where students could witness and partake in civil dialogue on these issues. So to have Biden and Kasich there demonstrating not just civility, but really profound affection and respect for one another was such a wonderful thing for our students and our faculty and our community and the nation really to witness.
And it's something that has really in some ways been lost a great deal. And that's a lot of what they talked about, this loss of civil discourse. It dominated a lot of what they said. We heard in our intro to this segment, Governor Kasich talking about how, in some ways, the grown-ups have left the room in Congress, the former vice president saying, you know, the loss of civility is causing chaos. What do you think? Have the grown-ups left the room? Is there chaos in our political discourse?
I think what's going on here is really that we are witnessing how much of our system is predicated on the importance of political and social norms. And so we think about things like how we speak and how the process works as being formally sort of written down into the system. But it's not. So much of what makes our politics work is really just this sort of tacit agreement that we have and that our leaders have with one another in terms of how they'll speak to one another. And that has broken down, in part because that is what people voted for when they voted for the president that we have at the moment. And that is someone who will speak from the hip, say what he's thinking, criticize people, call them out. That might make for wonderful television, but that makes for impossible governance.
And both Governor Kasich and former Vice President Biden, you know, took their shots at President Trump and his role in this coarsening of discourse yesterday. Of what they said, did something stand out about what they said about the role that the current president is playing in this kind of breakdown of norms?
One thing that stood out was when Biden talked about two things that Trump is doing somewhat strategically to consolidate power, and that is in his criticism of the press, deriding the press as fake news, and in his sort of challenging the integrity of our court system. And as Biden indicated, you know, those are the two things that really protect the integrity of the entire system, the courts and the free press. And by taking deliberate shots at those things and trying to undermine or erode our faith in those institutions, that could have detrimental effects on the citizenry and on our democratic processes as they play out.
And as much as a role as President Trump has played in this, both yesterday also suggested we've been headed in this direction for some time. And does that seem to ring true to you that in some ways we've kind of reached almost a logical conclusion to this kind of erosion that's happened over time?
Yeah, I was really glad that they actually brought that up because we have a tendency, really, in the United States to really just look at maybe yesterday, and that's history. But, you know, they brought up the fact that dating back to sort of the Gingrich years in the 90s and the sort of disrespecting of the office of the presidency, they talked about people referring to President Clinton as Bubba on the floor of the Senate or Congress. And those kinds of things slowly take their toll over time. I think that was important to recall. The other thing that I think was essential, and Kasich was really good in talking about this, is the role of the for-profit press, which, you know, other than National Public Radio, it's pretty much all for-profit press. And the fact that the things that play well for ratings and profit are actually things that can be destructive to democracy. So conflict, argument, and name-calling, interruption, those make for wonderful television. And again, they make for really, really bad government. So the idea of how do we reconcile those tensions is a central question. And as someone who studies media and politics, that's sort of at the heart of what I do.
I was going to say that you went exactly where I wanted to go next, which was Governor Kasich's discussion about the media. And as he said, kind of putting dollars and clicks and ratings over ethical responsibilities. Mm-hmm. As you've studied this, I mean, you know, do you see a way to kind of, you know, reverse that trend or kind of, you know, eat away at that particular issue?
I think there are several possible avenues, but I'm not hugely optimistic about them. Not to be a downer, but some of the avenues involve bringing these individuals who are sort of at the helm of these media institutions into the room with scholars, practitioners, and government officials so that they really do understand and start to respect the way that these processes and institutions are supposed to work, and so that they understand and respect the power that their media content and structure has over the way that we process information. I do think that there was a bit of a come-to-Jesus moment at Facebook over the past few months where, for example, Zuckerberg had to acknowledge, you know what, we do have a role to play here. I think if more media institutions were brought into sort of the conversation in a direct way, not just, you know, us criticizing them from afar and, you know, sort of taking shots at them, but saying, come into the room with us. Let us talk about some of these challenges, because we know that some of them do share our concerns about the health of democracy. Let's be honest. These media institutions cannot thrive if our democratic republic is also not thriving. So they have a vested interest. It's at odds, right? I mean, they have a vested interest in, number one, having drama to get ratings, but they also have a vested interest in the long-term success of the system. So perhaps if we continue to remind them of that, that could help encourage them to engage in production processes and reporting processes that are functional for all of us.
Yeah, and the vice president addressed that Facebook situation directly during the event itself. And he also challenged students attending to kind of, you know, learn how, I guess, if you're going to go into the media, how to, you know, act as a good actor in covering things, but also just as students in general, learning to filter information, identify fake news. How difficult a challenge is that for young people who maybe haven't grown up knowing any other way than the current status quo on the landscape?
It is a real challenge. And I get concerned about sort of blanket conversations about being critical news consumers. Because when you continue to harp on that notion of being a critical news consumer, it becomes very easy for people to dismiss all information out of hand. And I do think that that plays a role in eroding trust in the news in general. So what I think is more important is getting students to be educated about their own cognitive biases. We engage in these processes of selective perception, selective exposure, selective retention, and the more we become aware of how these things operate in the brain, the more we can sort of metacognate, as you call it, and think about how we're thinking and say, why is it that I'm really inclined to read this article that makes me feel smart and good and not this one? Why is it that I'm inclined to share this article even though I haven't read it yet? You know, we all engage in these processes, and the more we're able to recognize it and call it out, the more we can sort of hinder the speed with which those things are happening.
And I do want to wrap up with the fact that both, I think, Biden and Kasich, you know, had an optimistic note within all of this discussion and suggesting that the American people do have more in common, more common ground than the current discourse would perhaps indicate. What do you think? I mean, Biden suggested gerrymandering and money have caused this lack of ability to reach consensus. I think Kasich also addressed that as well. Do you think that's true, that there is more common ground than we think or we perceive from what's being said in our political discourse?
We know this is true. We know when it comes to the issues themselves, there is a heck of a lot more consensus than you would ever be led to believe by the way things are being covered. Where we end up with these cleavages, really, at the moment anyway, these are cleavages that have to do with tribes and identities more than they have to do with sort of what means we should take to get to a particular end. So what policies we should enact to get to a particular solution. You know, in a lot of that, and I think Biden hit on this a bit, a lot of sort of the fact that those tribal identities are salient right now and that these cleavages are about politics and not substance, meaning they're about the drama and the game and they're not about the ideas. A lot of that can be shaped by cues from our leadership. If we have leadership that signals to us that we do not need to be thinking about identities, we should be thinking about ideas, I do think that would begin to affect the discourse and we would get back to the ideas.